Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
This is Jeff Sheehan. I'm with the Sales Influences Radio Show. And I'm telling you, I have two superb guests this afternoon. Two gentlemen I've known for a number of years now. And I can tell you, they're consummate sales professionals. And what's scary, though, is if the three of us here this afternoon, folks, have perhaps over a century's worth of experience in the sales and marketing arena. So I think you're in for a real treat. So without further ado, I guess we'll start off with John Parker. Okay, I'll call you on this one. So, John, could you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your background, what you're doing now, and then we'll pass the torch to Mr. Dan Jordan, okay?
Well, I'm one of those. I probably make up half the 100 years of sales in here. I've been around a long time, but I started in the 70s in the hospital sales business, selling, actually I started with Johnson & Johnson, selling surgical dressings and drapes and things like that. And over the years, I spent 30 years in the medical device industry. 10 years ago, I retired from GE Medical Systems as the corporate accounts manager. At that time, I was had plenty of energy left and a lot of ambition. And I started a company called Parker Golf, where our mission was to help nonprofits and corporations plan golf tournaments so everybody had fun and everybody made money versus your typical golf tournament that makes nothing. That really, after a couple of years of doing that, that dovetailed into what I do now. I own a company called Parker Promotions. And at Parker Promotions, we help companies grow their business through promotional ideas, promotional products, and through just general solid marketing.
Right, and giveaways for our salespeople.
And giveaways for salespeople.
To provide to their clients and customers. So, Dan?
Well, thank you so much. Well, let me come on. This is the coolest thing.
Oh, I'm glad you guys are killing it, Mr. DJ. Okay.
You know, you guys carry about 99 of the years.
Oh, come on.
The kill over here. So, a little about myself. I am a self-described sales lunatic. I love the business. And I think that everybody, once they realize that they truly are salespeople, even if they're looking for a job, for crying out loud, they're trying to sell themselves. But once I realize that, and if people can embrace that, I think it'll be a better world. My introduction to the world of sales came when I was 18 years old. Actually, I was 17, and for various reasons, it didn't work out that I went to college, and I didn't go to college, but I had my college money that I stole from my parents somehow. Don't ask me how. And before they knew what happened, I bought myself a deli. Now, a deli's good. It was actually a butcher shop, but I turned into a deli, and it was good. But in a place like that, you realize you got to wait for customers to come in. I didn't like that. So I had to go out and get some catering business where the real money was. And that's when I first decided that without customers, you don't got much of a business. And to get the customers, you got to sell. So from there, I did some learning and I did some training. And I could honestly say I'm one of the few people that actually enjoys cold calling.
Oh, you love it.
Oh, gosh, it's the best thing ever. I mean, it's the only time, you know, you have no pressure on you. They never know who you are. I've probably made 150,000 cold calls in my life. Double that, triple that. Not once was I ever in Kroger and someone came up, hey, you're the guy. Yeah, but no one knows who you are. It's the greatest thing in the world. No pressure whatsoever.
Well, I just want to say, Dan, thank you on behalf of the career ministry people here in Greater Atlanta. Dan has been a speaker at numerous events that I've either attended or held as a director of a career ministry. And he talks about the importance of job seekers of being salespeople, that anyone who's a job seeker out there is a salesperson, whether they realize it or not, and they need to develop this skill set in order to be effective. And maybe that's something we can talk about a little bit later with regard to what is the sales skill set that people need in this day and age. So maybe we could take this in a direction, John, and talk about some of the things you've experienced as a salesperson throughout your career, some of the things that you've been privy to, some of the phases you've had, you know, some of the sales stories, actually. And what can people learn from those?
Well, in sales, some things never change and some things always change. And I'll give you a little story. Early in my career, I took courses, Zig Ziglar and Xerox Professional Sales Skills and you name it. The big companies that I work for required you to go through these. And I actually believed for a long period of time that there should be a response to every question that a customer asks you. One day I had a new sales trainer. My sales were sluggish, and the company I was working for sent me out to Arizona for a week to work with this guy one-on-one. And honestly, the first thing he told me is forget all that stuff. Forget everything you've ever learned about sales. There's just a couple things you really need to know. Well, there's a lot of things you need to know, but there's a couple of main things you need to know. Number one, it's not keep your eye on the prize, as some people like to say. It's when you walk into a room and you're meeting with a client or a potential client, the only thing you think about is that client. And finding out exactly what they need, even if it takes some probing and a lot of questions, once you find out what they need, your mission is to satisfy that need. So they can see it. There's all kinds of body talk, cross messaging, and so forth. But the customer always knows whether they know it, whether they know it or not. It's always subconscious in their mind that this guy's trying to sell me something. So I would say that leads to today. The art of selling really is not selling, in my mind. It's not closing the deal. It's not, multiple trial closes and things like that. It's really making it easy for the customer to buy. I was a sales manager for probably 25 years. And that's the first thing that I ask my salespeople to do is make it easy for your customer to buy. And they will. When I recall selling, decades ago, the customer had an expectation of having a proposal on their desk in 10 days. And you could, you'd write a proposal on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, like a 6-cent stamp, and send it to them, call them a few days later, ask them if they got it and so forth, and then they'll sign the order and send it back to you. So you couldn't get away with that today. Today, I think that customers' attention span is a lot less. They don't have time for it. They want to hear your story and hear it in a hurry, and they want to tell you their story. And they want to either consummate the deal or not. I had a contractor come to my house this morning, made a presentation. He looked at my deck to do some deck work and went out in his truck and wrote up a proposal and brought it in. And I need the work done. I signed it right there on the spot. I said, when can you start? He's there working on my deck right now. So things happen a lot faster.
Yeah, a lot faster. And the thing is, with 24/7, you can't
24/7.
I mean, I remember the days when I used to go out and make sales calls through different areas of the U.S. You'd shut down at 5 o'clock, and you didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have a fax service at that time. Maybe I'm dating myself. Sorry about that. But essentially, 5 o'clock, your day was pretty much done. You write up your sales report or whatever, but that was it. And you go out and enjoy yourself. Now, if you're a salesperson out there, your day never ends. I mean, I remember during my last tenure, I was working over in the Far East, and I would never – my sleeping patterns really took a beating because I would never sleep because of the fact that I was constantly trying to keep up with what was going back here in the U.S. while over in the Asia. I think that is really what is troublesome in a lot of the sales profession now is you never stop. The clock is constantly ticking. Wouldn't you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, it's a lot faster. And it's different, but the same process has to go. You still have to do the same. You still have to introduce yourself. You still have to present. You still have to follow up. You still have to close in some fashion. It's still the same process, but it is a lot quicker. I think what the customer expects now, when they call you or when you contact them, they want information, and they want it first. And they want it first, and they want it fast. Before you earn the right to ask for the order now, you have to give value. Give away your stuff. Samples, this and that. You just got to give it. You got to put it in their hands. Because there's so many other people out there. There's tons more competition. But the good news is there's tons more lousy competition. Really? I say this as a joke, but it's not a joke anymore. I know exactly how to differentiate myself. You work on Mondays and Fridays and when it rains, and you have no competition. Because every other salesperson is sleeping late on Mondays, they're taking off early on Fridays, and when it rains, they're just not in the mood to get out of the bed. I go doubly hard on Wednesdays, Mondays and Fridays and when it rains to avoid that competition. And so I never get caught up in that. You can control your day. If you plan your day right, you can control. If you treat your sales profession as a profession, you can control the time that you spend. But plan it. And by the way, your customers will respect it and give you bigger orders. It's tough to do at the beginning, for sure.
Now, what are you seeing, John, with regard to the specialty business, what their expectations are from a sales perspective versus several years ago?
Well, I think their expectations in the beginning are, hey, this is a promotional products guy. And I, the way that I like to differentiate myself and my company is promotional products are just part of it. The real crux is sitting down with a customer and asking them what they're trying to achieve. They may not know what they need to achieve it, but they know what they're trying to achieve. If they're trying to build their individual sales, build their Salesforce sales, make their Salesforce happy, keep their customers for a longer period of time, stay in touch, stay top of mind, and so forth and so on, and then analyze that and jointly come up with a promotion to help them accomplish that. And then and only then you start talking about products, because I would have no idea what kind of product you need for your business, Jeff, if I didn't sit down and have a conversation with you. I'm not going to guess and say, buy this, don't worry, it's going to work. I think that's what people expect out of a promotional products salesperson. And I think I've strived over the last 10 years to be just the opposite of that.
Yeah, no, I think it's smart. You know, again, you obviously, John, and knowing you, you have a lot of empathy for people and trying to find out what their needs are. It's no longer what's in it for me with regard to, here's a product, you know, take it or leave it. But how can you actually create an environment of that for them to actually engage with that product and want to buy it from you? I think
right.
It's critical.
Right.
And Dan, you're probably seeing the same thing with regard to your approach, is looking at what, putting yourself in their position and trying to develop your sales cycle or sales process that so it coincides with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you walk into a sales presentation with no ideas for them, with an empty head, you're going to walk out with an empty wallet. They're not going to buy. So you got to come. That's what they want. They need ideas. And they need ideas. I guess, you know, people are at different stages of sales. When you're someone 10 years in a business like you are, it's easy for you to get that appointment. You know, people kind of know you. You're getting referrals. People are coming in and all that stuff. Someone brand new, you've got to assume that they want something. And for most businesses, you can assume the same thing. Every business wants more profit and more customers. And so if you can get that attention from them and say, listen, I'm calling today, and this is just a cold call. You're walking into a place. I have an idea that can help earn you 30% more profit or 30% more customers or whatever. And they say, well, how do you do that? Then you could say, well, listen, what we need to do is sit down for a little while. If I can help you out, great. If I can't, I'll let you know that too. Is that fair enough? And set yourself an appointment. And then you could find out their needs. But you can't really just barge in on somebody and say, tell me what you want. Tell me about your needs. They're going to, you know, call the cops.
No, yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing that you, with regard to barging in, as far as the ability to get in to see people now versus what it was like years ago, a lot more difficult, or what are you experiencing in that regard? I mean, have cold calls, again, you're a cold call master, okay, with extraordinaire, without question. But both of you really have a great deal of experience in that area. Are people slamming the phones down on you? What, as far as prospecting, as far as getting in front of people nowadays, impossible to do without using tools like social media? Or do you think social media is icing on the cake? Or what, from your perspective, cold calling, has that gone the way of the buggy whip or the dinosaurs or what?
You want me to answer that, Jeff?
Yes.
I don't do much cold calling anymore. It's not because I have so much business I don't need to. It just doesn't work well for me. I do a lot of networking. I ask my clients for referrals. I'm around a lot of businesses. I'm a member of the Cobb Chamber for 10 years.
Right.
I take advantage of that. And I run a lot of events. And so I meet a lot of people at these events and so forth. But, you know, I'm going to just take off on what you said. The coming to somebody and saying that you have an idea, that's really pretty interesting for the person on the other side. I've got an idea for you that I think I can help you build your business. And I do have a lot of ideas, and that's what I run on. I'll lay in bed at night and think of ideas because I have a lot of products and a lot of different ideas to work with, some experience too.
Yeah, and experience dealing with people similar to their business. And so if you could walk, I had a person who was selling, someone who I was coaching who sells an item for retail stores. And so he visits a lot of retail stores, and he's noticed some similarities with the successful retail stores and things that the less successful retail stores were doing. So he put together a list of 10 things that the successful retail stores do as far as placing their inventory. And so he would walk into a place and say, listen, I have an idea that can help you. This is what 10 people have done to make successful for there. And he would give it to them.
Right.
And that was his in. And he says, I got a lot more ideas. I think I can help you out. Why don't we sit down? Done. Giving value first, but not value for you, value for them. And that didn't cost you anything to get in there and do that. Now, as far as cold calling goes, it's the absolute worst way to get business, except for sitting on your rear end or on the couch, thinking about all the other ways to do it and doing nothing. It's a great way to practice your sales skills in a harmless fashion, because like we said earlier, nobody knows it's you. And you could practice new lines, and you could work on your inflections, and you can pause, and you could change, and you could ask questions, like offer ideas, and you could try all different things out. So when you meet somebody in person and you're networking and they say, what do? You could just hammer it out like a pro because you've done it 7,000 times already.
Yeah,
and
know,
you don't even think about it.
You have you're someone who really is quite effective in that arena.
You know,
you still don't mind doing it. You still do a lot of it, correct, Dan?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I do it to get my voice right. Before you call, I tell people, and I'm going back to the job seekers, probably the worst thing that could happen is if someone gets their dream interview and it's their first one. Imagine you're going to mess up terribly. So I use cold calling to warm up my voice, to get my excitement on, because talking with another person is always kind of revs you up a little bit. And then once you're set, then you could talk to your real clients that you're trying to do real business
with. Yeah, I think
with.
You have a great point there. And John, I'm sure you concur with that with regard to, if you're a salesperson starting out, start with a small customer or start with a small product that if you fail or if you stumble, it's not going to cause
right.
you any harm. So
right.
if you play that out and you've learned from the experience, you're going to be a much better salesperson moving forward. And there's no harm in failure whatsoever.
No, you can't lose a customer you don't have.
Correct.
Very good. Very good. Dan, if you ever need a job, just give me a call. I'd love to have somebody like you on staff.
Well, anytime. I'm a big fan of being aggressive. And it, though it does backfire, I had this one instance where I have a philosophy. I go in the door that's open. Now, if the front door is locked, I'll go in the back door if it's open. Now, in this particular case, the bay door were all closed except for the one that was by the dumpster. I don't want to tell you which company it is because it wouldn't be fair to Pepsi. But I was, so I climbed over the dumpster and I walked into the back door and I dropped off my car. My guy that I was going to see wasn't there, but I dropped it in his office. As I walked out of the place, I see somebody waving me down. He's waving like this. And I go, and it was Calvin, the guy I was looking for. And I go, what happened? He goes, man, you messed up. He goes, we were in there checking out our new security system. And right there on this big widescreen TV, we see you climbing over the dumpster and coming in. He goes, not only can we not do business with you, he says, you're banned from the building.
Well, those things happen, yeah. Right?
But you know what happened? 3 months later, Calvin was no longer there, and I walked in again. Nobody knew who I was, and we started doing business. Who cares?
That's very good. Crazy.
Who cares?
Now, I was going to ask you, you talk about networking and that. Maybe you could share with our listeners some of your useful tips for networking, John. You're certainly a professional in that regard.
Well, I think everybody in this room is does a lot of networking. It's just like the sales premise that I started with. You have to start networking with the other people that you meet in mind. That's networking 101. Listen to them. Don't just hammer them with what you do and who you are, but listen to them and see if there's some way that you can help them with their business. And not necessarily by selling them something, but by truly caring. Maybe I can introduce you to this person or introduce you to that person. That's a lot more effective. And also I would say, know who you are and know what your company does, rather than just, you know, blurting something out that's irrelevant.
It's the whole thing with listening instead of talking. Absolutely, which is difficult for me, as you can tell. But a lot of times I immediately turn it over to them and ask questions. You know, someone will ask you what I do. You know, what I do is I help people like you earn more business. What kind of business? How'd you do this year? You know, did you meet your sales goals this year? And then let them start talking about their sales. And then just by the law of reciprocity, when they're done spilling their guts at you, they almost feel guilty and they say, oh, well, what do you do? You know? And I say, that's a great idea. I really think I can help you. What I think we need to do is sit down over a cup of coffee. If I can help you, I'll let you know that. If I can't, I'll let you know that too.
So do either one of you, before you go into a meeting now, do you look on LinkedIn or some of the other social media tools out there or do a Google search on the potential attendees at these meetings that you want to target and just pick three or four of them that you really want to hone in on? What are you doing in that regard, John?
Well, Jeff, I think you hit a point. Yeah, you don't go into a room where there's going to be 200 people and just pass out cards. Good networkers will go into that room knowing who's going to be there, especially at events. If there are people that you want to do business with who have a table and an event, it's a perfect opportunity not to sell them but to meet them. And it's the same way. I think typical B&I event, you know everybody there except for guests and so forth. But I think if you're going to a Chamber of Commerce event and you can get a list of companies that are going to be there, then pick three or four companies you want to do business with, seek them out, and you may even tell them, you know, I'm here to meet you. I came here with the sole express purpose of meeting you. Yeah. So it's flattering.
One thing that I find interesting, and we'll come back to you, and I want to ask the same question you did, but again, both of we came from corporate environments. And one of the things you really don't know or learn to do within a corporate environment is how to effectively network. So a lot of people that are downsized from corporations and that, it is a totally new learning experience as to how to cope in the outside, whether it's working your way through networking meetings or referral marketing, everything else. It's on-the-job training without question. And those who can succeed at it, such as you have, John, can really flourish.
It is quite different. I would say the majority of my corporate sales career, I wasn't necessarily making cold calls. I mean, there were times like I sold ultrasound scanners to OBGYNs at one time in my career. A real fun job, by the way. And I would make cold calls because I had a product nobody else had. I'd wear a little white lab coat and carry my ultrasound scanner in under my arm, put it on the gatekeeper's table and say, I'd like to see the doctor. I can change his life today. And after they had a little laugh at that, the doctor had read about this new technology in the journals and so forth. Typically, he or she would ask me back. I could do my presentation and move on. But for the most part, salespeople that work for big corporations, they already have the leads. And some of them have their day all planned for them, too. But so it's quite different. I think getting out and being on your own and speaking to people that you don't know, that's a challenge.
Oh, absolutely. It's something you're not prepared for. And people such as Dan that have Get 'Em a programs or whatever, they can help corporate refugees with regard to how to adjust to this in some respects. But organizations such as BNI, which I've been to a number of their meetings, they help as well in helping grease the skids and making that transition from the corporate life into what it truly is, a classical entrepreneurial sales situation. So very, very helpful on that. And I think that from a corporate perspective, though, they could learn a lot from that in teaching their salespeople how to become networkers and that, because I think it would enhance their sales as well. Although they're feeding them the leads in that, if they become more proficient at networking, it would help them in the corporations. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Hey, the only challenge with BNI is you ever go there as a guest?
Yes.
Boy, you're like fresh meat for these people. I'll go all over. It's crazy. You never feel so desired as when you go to a new, as a guest for a BNI meeting.
It's like a shock attack,
oh,
right?
It's great. Yes. It's great. You're so popular. Everybody likes you. All right. John told you what it takes to be a good networker. Let me tell you what it takes to be a great networker. All right?
Okay.
And the real is when you go to a networking event, of course, check out who's going to be there, do all that stuff, but everyone's doing that. What you need to do is get there first. I mean, first, get there an hour before everybody else and then welcome everybody in like you're the host. It's awesome. And you just direct people all over the place and everybody starts to know you. Because remember this, for a great networker, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And then the second thing is you go to an event with 200 people, instead of passing out cards, be the speaker. Have something of value that you can give to them. Let them all look at you in one shot. And then instead of passing out your cards, they're coming up to you afterwards saying, how do I do this? How do I do it? Here's my card. Here's my card. Here's my card. Done. That's what it takes to be a great networker. And when you talk about social media, that's all networking. That's the whole thing. Because as soon as they leave that meeting, they're going to look at that card that they have, and they're going to say, who is this guy? And they're going to check you out. Now, I know everybody here has their own website, but everybody listening to this, do you have your own? Here's the question you need to ask. If you were a company and you're selling your product, do you think that they're going to, don't you look them up to find out more about their company, to find about their people? Well, do you think for one second they're not doing the same thing about you? No, it's one thing if they find out that you're an axe murderer. Probably not good. But even worse, what if they find nothing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what if you looked up for the person that you were going to meet and you found nothing about that person? You would think you are the wrong person, and they think the same thing about you. It's not who you know. It's who knows you. Get yourself a $9.95 website, for crying out loud. Get your email with yourname.com, and you become somebody. Get yourself a blog. It's free, for crying out loud. It's like getting samples at the mall. It's free. Get yourself a website, get yourself a blog, start your Twitter account, get out there and make some noise. Now I'm going to get off my soapbox, if that's okay.
Oh, sorry about that. But one other thing, though, I mean, you're absolutely right about the, I think it's critical, though, in this day and age that people become proficient speakers if they can. And you're certainly very, very good at that, Dan. I've heard you speak multiple times. You're a Toastmaster.
Yeah. Join Toastmasters.
Yeah, join Toastmasters. It really enhances your skills.
It's free. It's like $60.
Yeah, very inexpensive, but the best investment you ever make in your life. And like you said, when you speak in front of a crowd, people will come up to you afterwards with all kinds of opportunities. For instance, even if it's a small networking meeting, when you have your opportunity to speak, people invariably will gravitate towards you and ask how you can possibly solve their problems with what you, your skill set is or what products and services you offer.
You change yourself from being an expert to the authority. And who would you rather do business with?
Yeah, so it's...
Write that one down. That's good. I'm going to have to write that myself.
Yeah, no, you always have words of, nuggets of wisdom there, Dan. So it's absolutely amazing. But both of you do an excellent job in that regard with, you know, getting up and presenting your skills and what you offer and what have you to various groups. So I think that's critical. Now, how about referrals? I think referrals, particularly with smaller businesses, even with large corporations, because I think now there's... some stats out that very high majority of people now rely on referrals, even in B2B environment, in order to enhance or eliminate any type of cognitive dissonance with regard to the buying process. So I think referrals play such a critical role. I think, John, you're very, very good with referrals and getting those and also providing referrals to others. I mean, I think I've developed the philosophy of trying to help others get referrals. And if you help them make connections. Hopefully it comes back to you some way or another. It doesn't always, but nevertheless, you help. If you can help someone else, then chances are it'll benefit you in the long run. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, Jeff. A referral is going to increase your chances of a meeting by 1,000%. If someone calls, this gentleman that did my deck today, he was referred by my next-door neighbor. I would not go on the Yellow Pages or even Angie's List. I need a direct referral if I'm going to spend some money. And that's extremely important in the promotional gifts business because anybody can buy what I sell on the internet. But they have a chance of not having a great experience doing that. There's so much involved in it. But it opens the doors. It makes it so much easier if someone gives you a referral, so you call somebody and say, you know, Bob Jones suggested that I give you a call. Here's what I do. I'd like to know a little bit more about what you do. And you got to have that referral.
Yeah, how about yourself, Dan?
When you get the referral, then it's yours to lose. You know, for that person to do the deck, it was his to lose. He owned it already, and he just had to do something pretty bad not to get the job. And of course, it's much easier if you go for a referral. Who would you? You have to make 100 phone calls to make one sale. Where if you had two referrals, you'll probably make two sales. So why not go after the referrals? Absolutely.
Yeah, now I was going to ask you one of the things that I'm doing, and I think both of you are as well, is I'm using LinkedIn a lot. Particularly, I make a lot of three-way referral introductions in that, where I take the two parties that I've met and try to connect them together. And I think it's very, very effective with regard to, you know, helping others out, and hopefully it comes back to you as well. Both of you are employing that type of tactic as well. And what else are you doing with LinkedIn, as a matter of fact, in your business?
As a matter of fact, Jeff, you made a suggestion to me a couple of months ago on something to do on LinkedIn, where I have I'm part of an organization called the Golf Tournament Association of America. I run the state of Georgia for them, and I have probably 5,000 leads, and a lead is someone having a golf tournament in Georgia sometime this year. So I have a connection with them, and you made a suggestion that I contact them on LinkedIn and not use the LinkedIn email. I use my own email and say, we're linked up on LinkedIn, or I'd like to link up with you on LinkedIn. After that, if they do, send them a gift. I'm in the gift business. Makes sense for me to send a gift. And I've been doing that. I have a golf hat that I bought 75 of them, and I'm down to about 20. And a few days after, I think that's the day they would have received the gift, I give them a call. Did you receive my hat? Yes, I received the hat. It's very nice and so forth. And then at that point, I try to talk to them a little bit about their golf tournament and how I might be able to help them, number one, with some free consulting, you know, how you might be able to make it better and more profitable. And number two, if they have any needs that I can fill, we can go there. So, yeah, LinkedIn's been real helpful in that regard.
So you're getting a lot of closures out of that, John, now
yeah.
as a result?
You are. Yeah. this month, I've sold 1,200 hats.
Whew.
Okay. And so not just because of that, I've sent out some direct emails. I've got a great promotion going on because right. I am in the promotions business.
Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. How about you, Dan? What are you doing in that regard?
Well, I'm a recruiter. I'm a sales recruiter. So right. what I do is I find great companies that need great salespeople, and I find great salespeople that need great companies, and I broker the deal. So I'm using LinkedIn all the time, and my recruiters use LinkedIn all the time. It's, for many of us, it's our main source, because what happens is you, with LinkedIn, you find obviously the people that are looking for work, but you also find what we call the passive candidates who are already employed, and there's a way for you to talk to them without trying to go through the company and have them screen you out. So it's very effective in that regard. But as far as getting the business and converting those people and actually making contact, it's very important to employ new technology that really are at people's fingertips that they're not using right, namely this smartphone that everybody has. This is the greatest tool. If you can't pay your rent, you pay for this thing. For crying out loud, this is your connection to the world. Now, so if you want, let's talk about golf tournaments. What those people need is promotion of their tournament. They're always looking for promotion of their tournament. Well, how hard is it to get a testimonial of someone who went last year, maybe a video testimonial of someone who went last year? And what you do is when someone makes a testimonial and you put it and you employ it on your website or you make it all fancy, you do whatever you have to do, and then you send it to the person that made that testimonial, who do you think they're going to send it to? To everybody and their dog, to the whole world. And you know how much it costs? Click. It's nothing. It's free advertisement for you. So if you get 10 testimonies, they're going to send it out to 100 people each. That's 1,000 people that are promoting your product for free. You gave them that idea. And imagine if they're all wearing your hats, too.
As a matter of fact, Dan is a real strong proponent, John, of video. You have a weekly video tip.
I have a tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
And people subscribe to it, and it goes out to 5,000 or 6,000 people every week, twice a week. Once is just a tip, and the other one is a sales tip, which is a video. And every single week, I'll talk to somebody through email, possibly business, possibly not, just thanking me or what have you, that I may have not spoken with in 2 years, but thinks I'm their best friend. Because I clicked on Monday morning
with
and on Friday morning.
Yeah, and you're very consistent with it. You've been doing that for quite a while now, Dan.
I've been doing it for several years now, yeah. Right. And I could trace most of my new business to that. And because another good thing with video is that it has your image. If you ever have to meet somebody, you never have to fall through that problem where, you know, I'll be at Starbucks, I'll be in the corner wearing the sombrero, and that, you know, they know what you look like already.
Because, well, I don't know if that's good
or
bad.
Because, again,
right?
It's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Yeah. The other thing, you know, getting back to this, though, with regard to the internet and with regard to LinkedIn and that, it's, like you said, who knows you? But what I found is people nowadays do not vet people. They don't peel back the internet. Whoever has the most credible profile on the internet wins.
Oh yeah,
and it's just absolutely incredible.
And who's there the most?
And the
you
most
just be omnipresent.
Oh, right, correct.
Just get you can get it
yes.
out everywhere.
Yeah.
And sure, there'll be some people, and there are people that remove themselves from my mailing list every week, and there's people that are annoyed by me and all that. That's fine. I still have 6,000 people that it's going out to.
Right.
You know, I still have all, who cares about those?
So the mailing list has really worked out quite extremely well for you in building that. And in your case too, John, right?
Well, Dan, it's going back to the idea that you're giving people ideas that are helping their business.
Yes.
And you're not asking them to buy these videos from you or anything like that. You're just offering something to make you more credible and to help their business. And people want to do business with people who genuinely want to help them.
Yeah, and what's interesting, I mean, in Dan's case, I mean, they're very good, but they're not Hollywood productions. They're The Dan Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I got my son bought me for my birthday a green screen.
Right.
So I got this green screen and it came with lights. It was like $200. He's waiting with lights and everything. So in my basement, we have this little studio. It's awesome. But most of the times, we're taking the videos with the iPhone. It has better resolution than does my video
camera. And it works. You're getting a lot of click-throughs. You're getting a lot of response to it. So this stuff works, believe it or not.
If you're consistent, it works. It works. And it builds, I guess, somewhat of credibility. You know.
Now, I was going to ask you, what else are you seeing as far as, can you give some of our listeners what are some of the other tricks of the trade with regard to sales right now? Again, it's so competitive in that. What else are you doing that you think you could share with them that might be helpful?
Well, one of the things that I do, 2 years ago, or it's almost three now, I opened up a planning center. I call it a planning studio. And it's a place to go see people in private and talk about their business. And if somebody comes there, they're ready to spend an hour or 2 hours, however long they want to spend. But that's changed everything for me. I was the Starbucks king until I had a Starbucks meeting go bad for me. I had a potential client that I've been trying to get a meeting with for months. And finally got a meeting. We had it at a Starbucks. It was across from high school. And it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And high school let out.
Oh, gee.
And I didn't know that, 15-year-olds were drinking coffee, but they mobbed the place and they're pushing and shoving and all the ambiance of that meeting was over in a moment. So the next day I started looking for office space and it has really truly helped. It adds to credibility. It's a little about the size of this room, 12 by 12, and have all my products there too. So when people come in and we're talking, their eyes are shifting all over the place, looking at all the different toys, and it has really changed my business.
Yeah, so, I think it runs counter, though. I mean, the way people talk, everything should be online and no bricks and mortar any longer. And in your particular case, as a small business owner, it really has been quite effective to have that bricks and mortar presence.
Well, that's what's different about me. In my business, there are thousands of people that have websites that have the same products on their websites that I do. And I choose to be more of a consultant, more of a relationship person. I'm not going to get business because of my website. I'm going to get business because people know me and trust me. And I don't do business with anybody, really. I don't know. I mean, some of them might be in California or Michigan or New York that I've met through a referral, or maybe they contacted me on my website, but we get to know each other. So I know every one of my customers.
Right. Now, Dan, how about yourself? Any tips in that regard?
Yeah, about building a great sales career. Those are great ideas, by the way. I love that. I had a friend who eventually sold his business, but he started with borrowed $500 and started a vending business years ago. He called me one day. He goes, Dan, I finally sold it. I consulted with him for a while. He goes, Dan, I finally sold it. How much you get? $7 million. I sold his vending company for $7 million. And he got into these larger places with hundreds of people that were working in. But instead of putting the vending machines, he actually had a place like this, a 12 by 12 foot kind of room. And he made a little store in here and was amazing. You would walk out and go beep, beep. He had cards and everything. It was a credible thing. And he was trying to sell it to other companies with this idea. So what he did was he built a mock store in his office. And he would have them in his other office and he'd try to tell them about it. And then he'd do this. He goes, this was my line. He would say, you know what? Let's forget about it. Let me just show you this thing. And he'd walk them next door and show it. And by the time they walked out of that 12 by 12 foot store, they had bought the entire package. And he eventually sold his business for $7 million. Hands-on, they could see what they're going to feel. They're going to feel it's much more than it is online. And there will be people that only want to buy online, but that's not your customer. You heard of the 80-20 rule. I've always been 70-30. Everything is in it. If, 30% of the people I meet don't like me. But who do you think I do business with? I do business with the 70% that can put up with me. And so as far as your sales career and building, there's a million ideas, there's a million books, there's training programs out there. But the one thing to remember is this: Rome wasn't built in a day. Your sales career wasn't built in a day. It was built day by day. Just do the little things consistently every day. Success is simple little disciplines practiced every day. And it adds up big time in your life and big time in your wallet.
Some great advice there, Dan. I really appreciate that, and certainly from someone who I consider a consummate salesperson. John, any advice like that? Or?
Well, I do have a piece of advice. There's always somebody bigger, stronger, and better. And I would advise anybody who's starting a career in sales or who's immersed in their career in sales to find that person who they can look up to and learn from them. I brought a book here that Dan was commenting on, and I found my guru in the promotional products industry. This gentleman had his own business, and it was a multi-million-dollar business, which is where everybody wants to be in this industry. And he sold it, and he has a non-compete for life, and so now he's a teacher. And every year I subscribe to his latest methods and so forth. And what that's done for me is it's put me together with a group of multi-million-dollar producers. So I learn from them, and on a weekly, monthly basis, and it has really, really helped my business.
Yeah, don't reinvent the wheel. Learn from those
learn
that
from
have
the winners.
Been successful. Learn from the winners.
And you'd be surprised how logical some of these things are that you'd never even think about on your own.
And that's what people need to consider in any profession, but more importantly in sales. Who has been successful at sales? Try to emulate them. Or companies, what verticals are they in? What particular companies have been most successful at before they do anything with regard to it? So they don't go out there and haphazardly jump from one pond to another, but fish in the right ponds and with the right target audience and everything else.
It's just like with your kids. The only thing you're concerned with your kids, you say, who are you hanging around with? What kind of music you're listening to? And you know, don't drive fast cars. It's pretty much a thing. But you think that changes when you grow up? It's the same thing. If you hang around with a bunch of losers, you're going to wind up with their same income. If you hang around with the multi-million dollar, I'm just hanging around with John from now on. That's nice.
Yeah. No, he's quite the guy. He does a fantastic job. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, we're running close to the end here, but basically, you do a lot with sales professionals. What are companies looking for with regard to sales management talent in this day and age, Dan?
You know what? Everybody likes to call themselves a manager. Everybody's looking for producers. The companies just need money. They need profit. And that's what they need to offer. So someone who's going to job as a manager is able to get that from their people. And they need to be able to prove it. One last story, because I know we're running out of time. It'll be real quick. But my biggest accounts that I've ever gotten, I've gotten with the same method. I found out who their customers were. Here's one example. I was a recycling plant, and I was in the staffing business at the time doing light industrial people. They had like 50 people there, and I wanted to get these 50 people. Or I want to place these 50 people. And they were dealing with a company, and they had been for 20 years. Why should they change? I mean, we're pretty much the same. Why should they change? So I found out, what type of companies do you deal with? And they said, printing companies. And so for the week, I called on printing companies as if I were them. And when I went to them the next week, I brought them 5 leads. 3 of those leads turned out to be customers, and the next week I got the account. Bring people what they want. If somebody wants a job as a sales manager, bring them a customer. If you have a customer in your hand and you call them on the phone and say, I got this customer, they'd like to do business with you. They're like, come on in. You know, here you don't even have to ask for the appointment. They'll beg, where can I, they'll bring food.
No, you know. So we're getting close to the end here. We'll come back to any closing comments. But more importantly, how can people get in touch with you, John?
Well, that's pretty easy. They can call me. Can I get my number?
Yes, absolutely.
It's Parker Promotions. It's 770-594-1538. My website is parkerpromotionalgifts.com. And my showroom is by appointment only.
Right.
So it's
And your email address, John?
My email address is info@parkerpromotionalgifts.com. It's a mouthful.
Thank you.
But it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely. And Dan, how about yourself?
Well, my name is Dan Jordan. You can call me at danjordan.com, but Jordan is J-O-U-R-D-A-N, just to confuse you people. My dad moved here from France, named me Daniel Jordan. I moved to Georgia. I'm Dan Jordan. Ruined the whole thing. But from there, you can get me. We can talk. We can work on anything. I can help you, your sales career, your company, and get you awesome salespeople. Dan@danjordan.com.
Right. We have a couple more minutes here. You know, again, thank you. One last piece of advice for anyone out there with regard to enjoying their sales career, improving upon their sales career, anything along those lines. John?
Smile a lot. And when you shake hands with somebody, look them in the eye and call them by their name. I mean, that's really basic. That's sales 101. But I run into a lot of people these days that just don't get it. They just don't do that. And be out there. It's not a telephone game. It's not an internet game completely. But be out there and see people and let them see you.
Yeah, use social media tools to get in front of people, to meet with them for coffee face-to-face. Don't sit there all day behind the desk. And Dan, how about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to take away from that. He nailed it, both of them. You know, attitude, smile, and talk to more people. And there's no way to lose if you do that. I'll give you one last. These are a secret CIA thing. These are the seven magic words that will get you into almost any door. You ready?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, here it comes. I wonder if you could help me. I wonder if you could help me. Before you say it, before you ask for anything, smile, walk in with a good attitude, and say, hey, I wonder if you could help me. My name is Dan. Who would I need to speak with for X? For whatever reason, Americans have this need and yearning to help. And they will actually lean in and say, how can I help you? Give them the chance to help you. They'll feel good and you'll fill your wallet.
I think I've heard one of these stories where you had done that. You have multiple stories in that regard, but it has been extremely effective for you.
Use it all the time. I use it for everything. If you want to find a cucumber in a supermarket, you say, hey, I wonder if you can help me. They'll walk you over to the produce department.
Well, I can't tell you. The nuggets, the sales nuggets, I swear, we'll probably find them out in Peachtree Street this afternoon, but just so many of them this afternoon that you guys have shared.
Oh, there's money flying all over the place.
Oh, I know it. It's absolutely. I mean, this has been the million-dollar hour session on for sales influencers. I can't think of two better guys they have. And again, the three of us, over 100 years of sales and marketing experience. So it's been a delight, gentlemen. I can't thank you enough for joining us here today on the Sales Influences Radio Show from the Big A, Atlanta, Georgia. And to all listeners, have a very nice afternoon. Thank you.